Come to order. We do have a quorum member, so I need a motion to approve the minutes of March 26. Representative Bigham moves the minutes of March 26. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion prevails. So today, members, is Hillstrom Day. We will only be looking at the issue of court fees. There are, I believe, four bills. So why don't we just to proceed with these bills? It's the intent to lay these over for possible inclusion in the omnibus public safety finance bill. So. Representative Hillstrom, if you want to start off and take us through the bills and do this somewhat informally, but we have some people also who would like to address the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'll start with House File 1540, and I would move that House File 1540 be laid over for possible inclusion in the public safety omnibus bill. Mr. Chair and members, House File 1540 would add a per-page filing fees for court papers directing the increase in fees to the Supreme Court. Members, as you know, we have a deficit that is significant, and so I sought out to find revenue enhancers, as the governor calls them in his State of the State, that are not taxes. And so this is an array of fees that this committee can pick and choose from when it determines from its target what amount of money it needs. So you currently have a fiscal note in your packet that tells how much the per page filing fee would generate. And members, in fiscal year 10, it would raise $3.983 million, and in fiscal year 11, $5.311 million. They did identify a few places that I had put in the bill that really aren't doable, so those are not reflected in the fiscal note, so we would need to change that. For example, wills are sealed, and so you can't count how many pages there are if the will is sealed. And so this fiscal note does count just the items that we can do in the per page, and this would raise $1 per page for every document that is filed with the court.
Madam Chair, I would I don't know if you have anyone to assist you in presenting the bill or someone from the court, but I think, you know, this is I asked Ms. Prius to look at other states that are doing this, and there aren't many, so I think we're breaking some new ground, and I'm fine with that. But I think you should really walk us through the bill and tell us what the fees, how they would impact all of the, especially on page 3, or section 2, starting in section 2, and just explain what the impact is, and to the non-lawyers on the committee to describe how in reality this would impact civil cases in the state of Minnesota.
Certainly, Mr. Chair. If someone from the court wants to come down. Members, this was not a court initiative. I went to the court and said, if we did this, how much would this raise? You also have a second packet that looks like this. And the last page talks about this was the estimated revenue before the changes from the court based on different kinds of cases, the last page, and so it shows you the total number of pages, the average per page file, and then the informa pauperis, which is kind of in the middle of the page, that is those that are waived or that become free. And so then it gave an adjusted revenue amount. So this was broken down by type of case. So Mr. Chair, Judy Rehack is here with the court to help us through this.
Okay, maybe we should just go through section 1 of the bill, Representative Hillstrom. So currently a percentage goes into the displaced homemakers account, is that, or mystery hack? Just looking on page one. This $30 fee on in current law.
That does appear to be correct. It's old language, so I haven't particularly focused on that, but yeah.
And Mr. Chair, we don't change current practice. This is in addition to what they currently get. So they would continue to get what is in current law, and this would be additional revenue that would be dedicated to the Supreme Court.
I'm just looking on page one, line 16. So then what we're going to be doing then is creating a new special revenue fund, is that correct, with the Supreme Court?
Mr. Chair, that is correct. The per page revenue is the money that would go into this special revenue fund.
Okay, and so the, and maybe ask Mr. Carter to help here, so this new fund then will be used specifically to help finance the courts.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Representative Tilson says it's correct. Okay. And what would preclude this committee or any other committee from the legislature from using that fund for other purposes in the future if we create this fund?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Tilson.
I believe that this body would create it, and there's no reason this body couldn't, you know, delete it as well. So I don't think that there is anything keeping future legislators from making changes. They could increase the amount that this fund got. They could decrease the amount because we are creating it.
And then on page two, also in section one, there's several cases. Why were these determined that a fee would not be required?
Mr. Chair,
Ms. React.
In Section C, those are instances where past legislatures have determined, usually because either public policy suggested that people in those cases shouldn't pay a fee, or governmental entities at the local level were bringing those actions and bringing them on behalf of disadvantaged people, and so the legislature at that point in time declined to impose a fee.
Okay, then why don't you take us through Section 2, Representative Hilstrom, and
Mr. Chair, I'd actually like the witness to walk us through the fee.
Ms. Rehak, would you just explain how this will work now, these new fees?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in each of the sections, there is a separate fee identified, and the base fee remains the same, but to each base fee, there is a dollar per page charge added. So, for example, in Section 1, of Subdivision 2, which is line 2.34. The base filing fee is $240, and then when somebody files their summons and complaint, they would be charged additionally a dollar per page for that document. And similarly, on line 2.35 for dissolutions, the base fee is $270. They would be charged additionally a dollar per page in the document they file. On page 3, lines 3.3 and 3.4 identify that same fee and the same per charge, per page charge for answers that would be filed in civil cases. Lines 3.11 and 12 identify a base certified and uncertified copy charge. So also when individuals come to the court and ask for copies of documents, they're charged a base fee and then an additional dollar for each page. Line 3.15 is a per page charge on motions in addition to the base fee. 3.18 is a base fee plus the dollar per page on executions and various writs. 3.20, the base fee plus the dollar per page on transcripts for judgment. 3.22, the base fee plus a dollar per page for satisfaction of judgment. 3.27 is a base fee plus a dollar per page for filing and indexing trade names. We did note in the fiscal note that court administrators are no longer responsible for that particular duty. I believe that those names are now filed by local officials. So you could charge it, but you wouldn't collect that from the court. 3.29 is a base fee plus a dollar per page for filing partial, final, or annual accounts and trusteeship. 3.30 is the base fee plus a dollar per page in wills that Representative Hillstrom referred to earlier. When wills are filed with the court, they're sealed. We could ask for a certification of the number of pages, but there is no way that we would be able to verify the number of pages because of the sealing. 3.35 is a support motion fee, base fee plus a dollar per page. And I believe those are all the base fees. So we have on the page that Representative Hillstrom referenced, actually had court administrators in a number of counties count the a sample of the files to get a page count per file, and then discounted that by the number of filings that are informal pauperous, where the fee is waived for parties who can't afford it, to come up with the revenue projection. We did a similar, although slightly less extensive, sample for the probate and family court fees, and that's the revenue estimate that is included in the fiscal note.
So, Ms. Riak, just so we get an understanding, so how many pages, I suppose there's not typical cases, but what are we talking about in as a range here? Anywhere from a dozen to hundreds, or what is the... And then the second question or follow-up to that would be, what would be the process for the courts and for the attorney who's filing the document?
Again, on the back page of the revenue packet, you'll see on the second line, in our sample, for each of the various civil case types, an average number of pages per file. So in personal injury cases, the average number of pages in a personal injury pleading is 110. In a contract case, it's 120. In a harassment file, it's 10. Other civil cases, kind of a generic category, 164. In wrongful death, which is often a very technical and medical-driven kind of action, the average number of cases, average number of cases, 228, and so forth. Employment law cases are the most extensive, and evidently you get a book when you open an employment law case, because there are 514 pages on average in employment law cases. When we looked at the family court cases. There were about 85 pages on average, and in probate cases, 15. The range, though, is quite extensive. If you have a hotly contested family court case, it may be several hundred pages. As to the method that we would usually, we've talked about several. One is the possibility that when an attorney files a pleading or when a party files a pleading, they would attach a statement, a signed statement, as to the number of pages that were included in the pleading. And we'd probably be inclined to take that at face value.
Very good. Questions? Representative Tatum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hillstrom, just for clarification purposes, you're not changing as far as if Hennepin County needs certified copies of a conviction of a person in Ramsey County, you're not going to force Ramsey to charge Hennepin for those fees and collect them. Okay.
Let's get that on the record. Did you?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Coles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Either for Representative Hillstrom or Ms. Rehak, I think this is the I'm not a big fan of any of these fee increases, but I certainly appreciate the challenge that the courts are in, and I want to make sure that the courts have the funding they need to function appropriately. And I you know, if we're going to find additional revenues for the court, I think having court users contribute to the cost is probably a good idea. That said, I think this is the proposal, Representative Hillstrom, that I have the hardest time with. And I don't know if I really have a question or a comment, Mr. Chair, but I guess the challenge that I have with this is that you've got two parties in most of these matters, and you have a judge who may have certain requirements. I recall when I litigated in a past life, I occasionally had judges. If I was going to file a summary judgment motion, I didn't get to just file the portions of the deposition transcripts that I wanted. Some judges were okay with that. Other judges wanted me to file the entire deposition transcript. And so you have the sort of the wild card of the judge's preference. And in addition to that, you have for a defendant in a case, whether it's a personal injury case or a malpractice case or well, not just a defendant. I mean, if you have a defendant bringing a summary judgment motion, or you have a plaintiff bringing some kind of discovery motion to compel the production of certain documents, you're somewhat at the whim of the other party in terms of responding, and to have a fee associated with the length or the breadth or the scope of your response doesn't seem to make a lot of sense logically. It maybe makes some sense if we're going to increase fees to increase fees on filing a case or filing a pleading, but to do the per page thing seems as though it can't be controlled, Mr. Chair. In many cases, I guess if I'm litigating a case, I could decide not to vigorously defend my client and only put in a 4-page response to the plaintiff's 25-page summary judgment motion with 400 pages of exhibits. I'm not sure I'd be doing a good job as a lawyer, and maybe a couple extra bucks isn't a big deal, but over time that adds up. So, Representative Hillstrom, I guess there's not really a question there, unless Ms. Rehak wants to comment on the, and you don't have to, on sort of the arbitrariness of some of these issues. And we've got random, or we've got average filings. Case fine, but as you suggested, Ms. Rehak, you can have a case that has 6 pages of pleadings, and another case that is more contested for whatever reason. It didn't settle right after the pleadings were filed, and you've got several thousand pages in the court file. So it seems to be a little arbitrary, Representative Hillstrom. There might be a better way to do it. Some of your other bills might be a better way of addressing it if we're going to go down this route.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that, Representative Coles. One of the thoughts in putting this bill together was that the more paper you file, the more time the court is going to spend on the case. And so currently, when you file a case, whether it is a court case that takes one day or it takes months, you pay the same fee to file the same kind of case. And so should two companies that are fighting over, you know, multi-million dollar things be paying the same court fee as someone who is, you know, filing a 10-page document? So that is kind of the reason why I thought to go this direction. The court didn't come up with the idea, and they even kind of said, do we really have to count all of those things? Couldn't we, you know, lessen the scope? But I think that if we're going to come up with additional dollars, we're going to have to be creative, and this is just one option.
Representative Smith and then Liebling.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Can either one of you tell me, are there any other states that pile on a one-page per document, $1 per page filing fee? Any other states that are doing that?
Mr. Smith, I can answer that unless you have one. Yeah, according to Ms. Priet, Ms. Pierce, the state of Delaware charges $1 per page for filing and recording of any pleading on top of their regular civil filing fee. And some states have. Maybe Ms. Pierce, maybe you have some, since you did the research on it. Well, it was your doc.
Mr. Chair, members, the only state that I found was Delaware that charges $1 per page, but there were several states that had local courts determine their fees, so I did not go through those because that would have been looking up 100 different counties. So there might be other ones out there.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So we're aware of one other state that does this. The majority of this committee is going to decide how to apportion out the targeted $66 million cuts that are coming to this division. So we don't know, what the Supreme Court may experience as a cut from this committee. But I am looking at your numbers on the dollar that this will raise in fiscal year 10 of just under $4 million, and in fiscal year 11, just a little over $5 million. It is conceivable, isn't it, that the money that you're proposing to raise may not be enough to make up any cuts that this committee may actually make to the Supreme Court? That's question number two.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you add up all of the potential fees that I have today, I'm at about $50
million. Mr. Chairman, then a final question.
Representative Smith.
Even though this bill is proposing to set up an account, special revenue fund, appropriating it to the Supreme Court, there is nothing to prevent this committee at another session from raiding that fund and spending it for something other than the Supreme Court.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Smith, this committee has the authority to create the fund. They have the authority to eliminate the fund. They can choose to raise the fee and keep the money if they would like to. So this is just one proposal.
Thank you.
Representative Liebling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hilton, thank you for bringing this. This is a really interesting discussion, and I really appreciated hearing Representative Cole's comments on it, because I think it's really important to think about these things. And before I ask my question, I want to kind of throw out an idea. Maybe there's sort of a middle ground here that we could look for, and I don't have it right now, but, you know, maybe we could think in terms of ranges, you know, a cap on how much it could be or something like that, Representative Cole, to kind of mitigate the concern that you have, because I think it is a serious issue about, you know, kind of burdening people's right to respond in a lawsuit by, you know, having to think about the cost. I mean, there is something a little bit disturbing about that concept, but maybe we could kind of cut a middle ground there if we gave it some more thought. But the question I wanted to ask is, in civil cases, do we do any electronic filing yet? And what if I don't do any civil, so I don't know how much we might be doing electronically, but I know in the federal courts, you do a lot of electronic filing now. And what if we were to go to that, and how would the fees work there?
Ms. Rhea?
Mr. Chair, they don't currently Thank you, Mr. Chair. They don't currently do any, but there is a proposal to go to electronic. And
I guess it kind of depends on if they get the money as to if they're going to go there, and we would be the ones to make the decision once they go electronic whether or not we're going to charge the fee. This is about how creative we want to be about raising the money that the courts need.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hilstrom, so what you have now, really, you're thinking of it in terms of as long as a page means a piece of paper. I mean, I can imagine if we went to electronic, I mean, we've got all the costs of getting there. But then, you know, we might have very different personnel needs in terms of handling things. And, I mean, of course, judges still have to read the stuff. Every page is still a page of reading. But I imagine it would impact our personnel needed to handle it. But you're right now thinking of this just in terms of a paper page for a dollar, right?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Tripp, that helps them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Liebling, I did not say once they go electronic, they can't. It is my understanding from talking to some folks around here that currently there is a private company that does do it electronically, and their cost is about 10 cents per page once you file electronically. So we would be the ones to decide whether or not we're going to keep that fee in place or not.
Any other questions on House File 1540? Is there anyone from the audience that wants to testify for or against this bill? Mm-hmm. Representative Shelley, I'm sorry. I didn't see you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hilstrom, just curious, on these fees, would the judge or court have any leeway in a contested court to award these costs to a specific party?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Whatever the law is currently on when a judge can order court fees and attorney's fees, that we're not changing that at all. This would just be an additional fee that would be figured in part of that.
Okay, and no one wants to address the bill, so we will lay over House File 1540 for possible inclusion in the omnibus finance bill. Representative Hilstrom, you have House File 1541.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that House File 1541 be laid over for possible inclusion in the public safety finance bill.
Okay, do you want to present the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is actually a straight-up raising the court fee bill. And, Mr. Chair, the court has prepared for me a four-page document. Mine has yellow on it. Yours doesn't, but it looks like this. That last page you were just looking at that had the informal populace information on it, it's the first four pages of this. And, Mr. Chair, I just want to point out to you how to read this piece of paper. So if you look at alternative number one, which is the front page, inside the box is how much the fee would be raised. Each of the fees are listed along the right-hand side. So inside the box tells you, for example, that the civil filing fee for alternative number one would raise that filing fee by $10, and that $10 would raise each, then fiscal year 10 and 11, and then the total. And so each of the fee increases for each of the proposals are listed. And if you go down to the dollar per page filing fee in civil cases, that's the bill we just heard. And then if you see that there's a fee below on court administrative fees, that is the packet underneath the total line. So you can see how much they would increase each fee in each proposal. So for proposal number one, for example, that one would raise $26,604,433. That would be by raising $10 for the civil filing fee, $10 for the conciliation court filing fee, $50 for the appellate filing fee, $10 for the motion fee in civil family and guardianship cases. There is a $10 increase in the criminal traffic surcharge in this proposal. And then it says fee below, so you would then go down to fee subpoenas, increase from $12 to $16, judgment transcripts from $30 to $40, deposit of will from $20 to $27, and you can see on down the list, Mr. Chair and members. So that is alternative number one, and there are four different alternatives that they presented for information. So, Mr. Chair and members, you could pick and choose. I like this fee. I'm going to raise this one $10. I don't like that fee. I'm not going to raise that one. And each line will tell you how many dollars that each will generate. Now, Mr. Chair, I know that the criminal traffic surcharge has been a controversial issue around here. And so I added to the bill, not as part of this court spreadsheet, but it's on a handout. That's just a single sheet of paper that you can take a look at. And I included the parking surcharge instead, or in addition to. And currently, the parking ticket surcharge is $3. And so if you increased that $3, you would raise $1.851 million per year for every $3 that you increase. So, Mr. Chair, I can walk through it more if you'd like, but currently the bill just has blanks next to all the fees. We just crossed out the fees and said, you know, pick and choose which fee you like, which fee you don't like, based on how much money you would like to raise. Alternative number one raises $26 million. Alternative number two raises $41 million. Alternative number three raises $18 million. And alternative number four raises $41 million.
Okay, Representative Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hilstrom, just so I'm reading the chart correctly, in the box in the upper right-hand corner, that's the amount that would be increased, correct? So that's above the base that we're currently collecting. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct, Representative Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hilstrom, as I look at House File 1541 quickly, I don't see, like I did in House File 1540, the creation of a special revenue fund for the Supreme Court. So would this money then be going into the general fund if these fees are raised?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hilstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is correct. I just kept it exactly the same as current law is. And so that would then be the money that we, this committee, would determine how to spend.
Mr. Chair, just a comment. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, again, I've got some concerns about the level of fees and where we go, but I do think that if we want to try, and I think this committee should try to mitigate the cuts to the courts, I think we should think long and hard about the special revenue account concept. I know it's not perfect. It's not ideal. As Representative Smith pointed out, as you pointed out, Mr. Chair, it can come and go pretty quickly and can be gone the next time the legislature decides it needs some money from somewhere. But, you know, our job here as a committee is to try to do what we can for the courts and public safety in general. And if we're going to raise some of these fees, I'd like to make sure that they stay here, and that may be the best tool. I'm not sure if it is the best tool, but it's at least a tool. And so, Representative Hilstrom, I hope that as we move toward putting Chair Paymar's bill together, that you'll be open to further discussion about that. Again, I'm not sold that that's the right way to go if we are going to increase some of these fees, but I want to make sure that if we do increase fees on court users, they're available to help fund the courts.
Travis, did we set up a special revenue fund for these fee increases?
Mr. Chair, committee members, we could set up a special fee, but I think it might be somewhat burdensome on the courts, too, because most of these fees that you're increasing, the base is already going into the general fund. So any of the new money that you would raise then would go into a special revenue fund.
Mr. Chair.
Simple.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Carger, thank you. I appreciate that. I suspect that it might be a little more burdensome on the courts to absorb a $8, $10, $12 million cuts and figure out how to account for putting some money into a special revenue account and holding back some of that money if that's the way we're going to try to reduce some of the cuts. But I appreciate the challenge that we might be creating for the court. I think we might be creating a bigger challenge if we put a big cut on them.
Mr. Chair, and Representative Polk, just to that point, The other thing, if we do raise fees, it's simply going to be reflected in our target. If we raise fees, our target will go up, or maybe in this case, be less of a target. So in other words, we were told that any fees that we raise, once again, will be reflected on our target. In 2003, when we raised fees, I think Representative Smith was the chair. All the fees went to the general fund, and our target was increased.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Smith, I was in the room when the governor accepted all of the fees in 2003, and that's where I got the idea.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hilstrom, this kind of goes back to Representative Smith, the question that Representative Smith offered earlier. And I thought you had said that the fee increases that you're talking about today were $50 million total. Did I hear that correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Ward, if you add all of the bills together, yeah, you can get to $50
million. So,
and if we agree to the numbers that she is suggesting, or as a dollar a fee paid, no, there's no magic to any of those numbers.
Follow-up, please. Thank you. And I understand that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you tell me, which alternative plan would that you are referring to when you're talking about the $50
million?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you take the maximum amount, so you would take either plan number 2 or number 4, they both raise $41 million. If you take the increase in the parking fee as well, and then you take the increase in the public defender fee, which is another proposal, and you take the fee on lawyers, when you add it all up, you're pretty close.
Representative Kelly, then Cornish, and Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hilton, just curious, do we know if we have a collection issue? Is there a default rate on the fees that we're collecting now? And would we suggest that we have a problem or it might be increased?
Representative Hilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kelly, yes, there is. And Representative Paymar is carrying a bill to help collect some of the fees. But those are mostly, I believe, after they're ordered, not when you file, because you have to pay the fee up front when you make these filings. And so it's my understanding that really where the trouble is in collecting fees is on the back end once you're ordered to pay.
Representative Kelly. Mr. Chair, maybe you know that question. Is there a percentage that we're looking at from collection?
Representative Kelly, it's extraordinary. If I remember correctly, there was something like Ms. Marshall's out there. There's $160 million that we didn't collect. I think, was it the last biennium? Is that possible? That number sticks in my head as being somewhat alarming. And so this bill that we're talking about is a way to automate the court systems using collection agencies and automating the system for their payables. But maybe you can tell us the number, Ms. Marshall.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Janet Marshall, and I'm with the State Court Administrator's Office. In response to Representative Kelly's question, right now there is about $160 million on the books of uncollected monies. That is, as Representative Hilstrom said, primarily fines, restitution, court costs, those kinds of things. When you go to court, you have to pay your filing fees up front. So that would not be part of our collections. If you can't afford it, then you can fill out some papers and you can get your fees for free. So that is not the burden in terms of collection.
Representative Cornish. Thank you, Ms. Marshall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. I was on the phone this morning with the Chief of Police already talking about administrative fines and everything else, and the biggest complaint he had was on the criminal surcharge and the way we've raised it over the years. And if we did raise it, if we don't get that agreement on administrative fines and we raise this $10, there's going to be more and more people. So I think it's in conjunction, we need to keep this down and sign our deal on administrative fines and get this put away. But this $10, there was almost a loathing in his voice for the state when he talked about the surcharge and where the money goes. And so I know what he would say to this, and the chief and the sheriff, what they would say. So really wanted to use caution on raising the criminal surcharge anymore at this point. So.
I think that's a good point, Mr. Cornish, because I don't support raising it. And I think that while we're in a tough situation here and we probably will raise some fees, there are unintended consequences when these fees get too high, and we've seen that with the administrative fines, and that wouldn't have happened had we not raised that surcharge to $75, and now, now we're trying to find a way out of that. And there are other situations where fines have just, they make it difficult for people. So we should look cautiously at all of this. Representative Hilstrom, did you want to respond to that? Or?
I did, actually. And Representative Cornish, I, too, am concerned about the criminal surcharge, which is why I went to the parking fee increase and gave that to you on a separate sheet of paper. But just so you do know, on alternative number 3, it tells you how much it raises if you raise it $2 for the criminal surcharge. So you can see how just a small number and how much money it raises.
Representative Smith?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Starting with Mr. Carger, then Representative Hilstrom, then Representative Ward, I heard my name mentioned. That's a surefire way to get someone to talk if you mention their name. So, but the just two quick points. First of all, and you did it with regard to raising fees. As a general principle, Representative Hilstrom and Chairman Paymark, I in the past have supported raising fees as a way to generate revenue. Secondly, however, I think it should stay where it's raised. And I guess the third point I would make is I can't get too worked up right now over any proposal to raise fees because I haven't heard anyone suggest they want to cut the courts yet.
Okay. Any other questions? Anyone in the audience who wishes to address the committee on House File 1541, either for or against the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Coles.
Mr. Chair, I guess a comment. You have publicly admonished certain members of the administration for their unwillingness to come forward with ideas, and I guess I got to be honest, I'm a little frustrated. There are groups that represent the courts, that represent the public defenders, that represent the county attorneys, that represent the Bar Association generally, and it's unfortunate that they're not coming down to provide us with some input. I guess we're going to do what we do, and then we'll get criticized for doing whatever it is we do by somebody, and I guess nobody wants to be on record. I've had a couple conversations with some people who, privately are saying, well, this is okay, this isn't okay, but it's unfortunate that, we try to have a public process here, and I guess we're not gonna hear from the people who use the courts, who I think, probably do have an interest in this.
I guess you're guilting some people forward.
Mr. Chair,
I'm a proud practicing Catholic, and I am very familiar with the concept of shame, and I'm not afraid to use it a little bit, Mr. Chair.
Well,
and thank you for those who are willing to come down and express some opinion on this.
You didn't grow up with a Jewish mother like I did. So somehow I'll address the committee.
Mr. Chair, if I might, for one moment.
Representative,
thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Polk. I actually was asked by the public defenders if I wanted them to address each of the bills or just the one they really like, and so just so you know that folks have come forward to say to me and ask me when I wanted them to come forward.
And Representative Coles, we posted this, and we were going to send letters out to all of the different lawyer groups, etc., but everyone had plenty of notice that this bill was up for a hearing, and it's been they've had hearings in the Senate.
Mr. Chairman, members, Eric Hyland from Ezra Wayne Kramer, representing the Minnesota Chief of Police Association and Minnesota Sheriff Association. I think Representative Cornish brought to light what I know everybody in the room is aware of in terms of what we've been saying for several years, is that the unintended consequence of increasing the surcharge over the years has actually resulted in what we believe fewer tickets being written, particularly in greater Minnesota. And we're very concerned that if you go down this path, and I completely understand the financial situation that this division in particular is in, but I really do believe that a little bit more analysis needs to take place in terms of the revenue being generated because I just don't think the same number of tickets are going to be written if you increase the surcharge, either $10 or $20. There will be, and we have very good anecdotal evidence to suggest that you'll just have fewer tickets being written. And so you're not going to generate the revenue that you think you're going to generate. And you have the other unintended consequences of that ticket now being, it's a $40 fine with potentially a $95 surcharge on it, that when that person doesn't pay the ticket, then a whole another set of costs kick in if the person's not able to pay that ticket. The license gets suspended, potentially a warrant is issued, potentially that person is picked up and put in jail for a day. I mean, those are some of the unintended consequences that just looking just on the revenue side that you don't account for when you look at things like increasing the surcharge. So I know we've had a real healthy conversation over the last couple of weeks on administrative citations. I think that what this proposal that is currently in front of this division potentially has some fee-generated revenue for the state, potentially instead of an increase in the surcharge.
Mr. Highland, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is just a quick comment off what he said. Since I am the prosecutor from Greater Minnesota, I know for a fact there are officers very literally in northern Minnesota, and I'll use that because that's where I'm from, are making people pay a mighty big surcharge for even the speeding ticket. In fact, I also know a couple of judges who openly said on the record and then said in chambers, well, I guess I shouldn't say that I'm going to collect the surcharge because I don't have any choice on that, but I'm not giving $1 fine. So, yeah, we got the surcharge, but we may not have gotten some of the fine money we got in the past from a few judges who just thought that the surcharge was a little crazy up in Greater Minnesota.
If you wish to testify.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Ann Finn. I represent the League of Minnesota Cities, and I agree with everything that Mr. Highland just said. I will only add that we've really found that the increases in the surcharge over time on the traffic surcharge has, in fact, we believe, added to congestion in the court system. And there are some other consequences that go with that, particularly at the local level. We're hearing from city officials that they're sending police officers to sit in court while people challenge their tickets because they want to fight for their money. And they want to contest these, in fact, often because they feel that the cost is just too much to bear. So for that reason, I would just request that the committee not increase the criminal and traffic surcharge any further. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Finn. Any questions? Anyone else that would wish to address the committee on House File 1541?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Leo Brisbois. I'm president-elect of the Minnesota State Bar Association. And our president, Michael Ford from St. Cloud, was scheduled to testify today. Obviously, though, because of the weather conditions in the state, he is not able to make it down. So, Representative Cole, I just wanted you to know that the Bar Association is interested, is here. And Mr. Ford had a presentation that he wanted to make, but maybe I could just make a couple of quick statements that summarize the position of the State Bar Association. We, as an association, are concerned about any fees or other proposals such as sales tax, which have the consequence of limiting access to the courts for people who are already on the margins of being able to afford those costs. In particular, to this proposal, these fees, while some fee may be increases might be necessary at the end of the day, at this point we believe they're potentially excessive because the $50 million, or let's say $40 million, would actually double what users of the courts are now paying in civil filing and probate fees. For the fiscal year 2009, our understanding is that $39.9 million are projected to be collected on civil and probate filing fees. And those are from the individual consumers of the courts. And so you're almost doubling the barriers to the access. So as this committee considers this bill and this proposal, some surgical fee increases may be appropriate, but an across-the-board raises too much of a concern from the association's point of view of limiting people's constitutional rights to accessing the courts. And the one story example that President Ford wanted to share, and I want to share that with you, is that there seems to be this, he's concerned that there's this this theory these days that only the users of the courts benefit from the courts, and therefore they should be bearing the disproportionate burden of that. And the fallacy in that is that without a accessible, readily available court system and that people can get to, there's no peaceable resolution of the dispute. So you're raising issues of concerns of public policy. Now, some of you maybe have never used a lawyer, never had to be in court. Your families and friends have never had to be in court. But they benefit from people being allowed and able to access the courts freely and fairly and in an affordable way. And to say that only the people who are unfortunate have to cross that threshold should bear these disproportionate fee increases is similar to, and this is the analogy that President Ford wanted me to bring forward, it's similar to saying only the parents who have kids in the public schools should bear the cost of that. And we all know that we all benefit from having access to the public school. So it's a societal responsibility, and it's a societal benefit that we all bear. So while I said some fee increases might be, at the end of the day, something that surgically might be necessary, just to paint across the board to say that this is how we're going to do it, this is how we're going to raise money, it loses sight of those bigger societal issues and the reason we have the judicial system that we have in the state and this country right now. Those are just basically the positions of the association, and just wanted people to know that we are here and we're listening, and we're available to answer questions anytime you want to give us a call.
Mr. Brisbois, is it maybe, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but are there some proposed fee increases that are in these bills that are more onerous than others, or is that something you could provide this committee at a later date?
Well, I can tell you anecdotally, I'm a civil litigator, as is President Ford, and the dollar per page is not workable in the sense that it's not predictable. I can tell you that I was listening earlier today that some of the averages for these case types, I've had civil litigated cases where just for one motion, some of those averages would be covered between the deposition transcripts, other exhibits that have to be put in, the brief itself. You can easily get up to the $250 that was cited as an average. And in the course of a litigation which extends over sometimes a year or more, you add up those dollars per pages, you're potentially adding additional, $1,000 or more by the end of a motion practice, any other exhibits that you're putting in pretrial. Those are all going to be filings that are going to be subject under these proposals, as I understand it. And there are people who wouldn't qualify for informed pauper status, don't have the discretionary income in their budget to not be able to pick up that many additional fees. And our concern at that point is, do they walk away from exercising their rights, or do they, decide, as Representative Cole said, do they tell their lawyer, defend me, but don't do it vigorously? These are all concerns and issues why we are here today and watching this, because ultimately anything that steps on a person's ability to adequately express their rights that are guaranteed under the Constitution, it should be of concern. Now, as I said, we, in 2003, the association, I wasn't an officer at that time, but I know that the association came forward at the end of the day and was involved in some discussions as to what level of fees might be able to be borne by the association, by the litigants, and I think that's a discussion that the association could be involved in at a later date. But at this point, to double what the users of the courts are already paying and going to the general fund and not going to the courts, which would also be this case, as I understand, because you can't guarantee that they would go to the courts, that's a burden that hasn't been thought through, and the potential risk to the access to justice is too much, is a concern of ours right now.
This is why, again, I don't want to put you or the bar under any pressure, but if you could provide a document to this committee about, which fees, I understand the dollar a page seems like that's a problem, but which other ones are more onerous than others, and if we could get that as soon as possible, it'll help us in our deliberation as we try to fill in the blanks here. There will be some fee increases, I'm quite sure of that. It's just the amount that hopefully we can all live with. So we have several questions, I believe, of you or...
Mr. Chair, if I could make a quick comment.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just would like members to take a look at the maximum amount, number four, of the fee increases. And I think on that page, the highest fee increase is $50, which is 10% of the current $500 filing fee. So as we're talking about, you know, doubling the amount of the fees that is generated, I think members should take a good hard look at what the real numbers really are. It's nowhere near that amount.
Representative Fosh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is kind of a two-part question. If you want to only answer one part, that's fine. One is, if you have some opposition to these fees, are you willing to accept some of the potential cuts to the courts? And the second part is, have you provided or are you working on an alternative proposal that you could give the legislature for where your recommendations would be to try to reduce some of the impact to the courts?
The Bar Association is working with the courts, the public defenders, and the legal assistants to make the case, you know, as to why the courts should be adequately funded and why the entire state of Minnesota benefits from that. Now, you know, whether in some people's mind adequate funding means fully funding, I mean, that's a debate that you're going to have. But adequate funding means that the criminal cases are prosecuted pursuant to the speedy trial requirements, and also that the civil cases aren't shut out because of that. Now, you know, we've already, as I said, this is not just a lawyer issue. This is a, you know, we help people through the system. It's not a system for our benefit. It's a system for the benefit of the society. It's a system for the benefit of the resolution of disputes peaceably, and providing rule of law and stability and public safety. So everybody benefits. We've been meeting with people on the sales tax issue. You probably discussed that or heard that in other contexts. We think that's an access to justice challenge as well. But, you know, alternatively, there is no position in the State Bar Association's policy statements that would oppose properly funding the courts through other more progressive things such as the income tax. So that's the discussions we've been having.
Representative Olin has met.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and this is actually getting ahead of myself by getting ahead of the question, but as long as he's up there, I'm going to ask it. I'm going to phrase it this way, Mr. Brisbois, as an attorney who is presently non-practicing but still paying his registration, who has signed the next bill that I'm going to refer to, how do you react to the idea of putting a $50 surcharge on all attorney registrations for help with the public defender situation?
Mr. Brisbois.
Representative Olin, let me answer it. Can I answer it as a personal, as an attorney? Okay. Let me do it this way. As an officer of the Bar Association, at some point, you know, you're going to collapse the attorneys, you're going to collapse the users of the court. You can't see and surcharge your way out of something. You know, I think everybody knows, I've heard other people express that. And the attorney's license fees, there's already a part of your fee that goes for legal assistance. There's part of your fee that goes for lawyers' concern for lawyers, which is, you know, is an important concern and cause. Now, there's no official position of the Bar Association on the $50 that would be going to the public defenders. So that was something we'd have to take back to our assembly. Now, speaking as a personal, as an attorney, I think that $50 would be, I would pay that $50. But that's my personal opinion. Because I think that public defense constitutional obligation, not only does it answer that question, but then it also helps with the civil cases, because when those criminal cases move, then the civil cases move. So, personally, I would pay that $50.
I'm just going to say, thank you, Mr. Brisbois. And you pretty well answered the question I had. They direct, because you can't account for the bar associations, so they probably haven't taken a view.
If they haven't had time to bring it up.
But in general, that $50 registration, like, as long as it was kept in the courts, and the bill specifically says public defenders, but it was kept in the courts, do you think that the bar association could probably live with that idea?
Well, I certainly would bring it back to, we would bring it back to the assembly. And our body is representational, just as your body is representational. Matter of fact, we have our next assembly meeting is this coming month.
Okay, so that's the bill that we're going to be dealing with next. Representative Coles, Lane, and Liebling, and then we have two more bills left.
Mr. Chairman, unless there's any other questions,
Mr. Chair, just very briefly, I just want to thank Mr. Brisbois for coming down. It's important for this committee to hear what you have to say, what the Bar Association has to say. I couldn't agree more that the courts benefit society as a whole, and we need to be careful about the access issue. I appreciate you taking the time. I'm sorry for having shamed you if I did, but I'm glad you did come down. It's important context for us to hear as we try to deal with this situation.
No, I appreciate that, Representative Cole. And as I said, President Ford wanted me to convey that he wanted to be here, but he just couldn't do it.
I understand. Representative Lane has a question for you.
I think I heard you speak to this, but again, if the public safety system is that serves society and benefits everyone, then would the Bar Association support a progressive tax and income tax increase in lieu of fees that are more regressive?
And Mr. Brisbois.
And the answer that I gave is that question hasn't been posed to the Assembly, so we don't have an official position on it. What we do have an official position on is that the Association is opposed to a sales tax on legal services because it hits those people at the time when they least need to be able to. You know, they're in there for wrongful death, personal injury, and then they're at the margins of affording the attorneys now, and then you put a sales tax on top of that. That we have a problem with. We have had discussions with some members of the Senate and about that issue, and at this point, what we can say is that there is no position in the Bar Association that would oppose that. But as with the $50, you know, that may be something that could be brought to the Assembly's attention in April.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll try to be really quick, and thanks for coming today. And I just wanted to sort of make the general comment that, you know, as I'm an attorney, and I find it really troubling, not just because I'm an attorney, but generally that we want to going to that raising fees on attorneys in order to support the public defender. We've gotten into this generally in a lot of areas where the people who work in an area or who care about an area have to fund it. Instead of it being general societal obligation, we're seeing this with the provider tax in the health area. You know, we're taxing providers or actually patients to pay for health care for other patients. And now we're going to do this more and more in the legal area. And I think it's a very troubling kind of trend. And unfortunately, this year, even if we raise progressive income taxes, we're still going to have to do some of these things because we just simply are not going to be able to raise enough money otherwise. But I really think that we need that message that you brought us today about benefiting, even if you're not directly involved, is a very important message that we should spread, not just in this area, but in so many other areas of what we do. And I just wanted to make one other quick comment about shame and guilt. Since I'm a lawyer, I have to parse words, you know, but the Catholics may have shame, but the Jews have guilt. Different.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Brisbois. Representative Hillstrom, you have two more bills, House File 1542 and 1578.
Mr. Chair, I would...
Oh, yes. We will lay over House File 1541 for possible inclusion in the public safety omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that House File 1542 be laid over for possible inclusion in the public safety on this bill.
We've already had some discussion about this bill. Do you want to say any more, Mr. Hilton?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I just want to let you know how much. This bill is reflected on the sheet that just looks like this. Currently, the civil legal services get $50 off of attorneys' fees, licenses, and I just copied that and did it for the public defenders. And if we raise $50 on lawyers' licenses, it raises $1.6 million per year, Mr. Chair.
Okay, is this the fee on lawyers or the public defender? Are we on the right bill here now?
Yes, 1542 is establishing a fee on lawyers' licenses to fund the public defender.
Okay. I see. Okay, questions, Representative Cole.
Mr. Chair, just a comment and a question. I note, and I think it's written this way because it has to be, we say that the state court administrators through the lawyer registration office may assess. I think, is that the separation of powers issue? We don't have the ability to tell the court how to license or what kind of fees to charge. Is that why the language is written that way?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
And Mr. Chair, just a question. I don't know if you or Representative Hilton or maybe Mr. Carter know, $1.6 million. Do we have like a you know, we talk a lot about per diem costs for Department of Corrections. Do we have a per head cost or some way to figure out what this might mean for the Public Defense Board in terms of how many lawyers or other staff that they could? Do we have an average cost for an FTE with the public defenders?
I don't think we know the answer to that.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In your House Research Bill summary, it states that Minnesota's $217 registration fee ranks 15th lowest among the 50 states. And of that amount, $50 is currently dedicated to civil legal services. So if we added $50 to the current fee, Minnesota would rank 26th.
All right, any other questions on this bill? Is there anyone from the audience that wishes to address House File 1542? Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members, my name is Steve Holmgren. I'm the Chief Public Defender in the 1st Judicial District, and I'm here on behalf of the Board of Public Defense today. First of all, I'd like to thank the Chair and the committee members for considering all of these bills today. And I'd also like to especially thank Representative Hillstrom for her efforts here, not only recognizing the need for additional revenue for public defense, but just the justice system in general, but also for bringing these ideas forward. I know there were some questions earlier about what the public defenders thought of all of these bills, and our position really is that we realized the state's really in a dire financial situation right now, and it's really a situation where there needs to be some creativity taken here. So we're trying to take a realistic approach, and we're supporting all of these efforts to the extent that they can actually help fund the judiciary. We really take the position that all of us in the justice system are in this together. We refer to ourselves as justice partners, and we do that for a very good reason, because whether we're law enforcement, whether we're attorneys, whether we're corrections folks or court people, we really are part of the machine, and we really all need to be functioned or to be able to function properly for this machine to operate effectively. And we know right now it's being public defenders that due to the hits we took last session and the budget cuts we took last session, that we're already impacting the system's ability to function properly. So what we're really trying to do is support efforts that would help fund our justice partners appropriately. Obviously, it's for the committee to decide how that and how to do that best, but I just wanted to make it clear that that's our position. I'd also like to say that we really view this as a function of public safety, in the sense that the courts and all the people that go into making the court function properly is really part of public safety. And it's important that we be able to cope with all of the cases that law enforcement sends to us, because realistically, if we're not able to do that, it certainly leads to the possibility of creating some sort of revolving door system where people are brought in to the court system and then have to be pushed out because we can't keep up with the concerns or with the pace that's being set. Finally, I'd just like to say that yesterday we had some discussions with Bob Johnson from Teamsters Local 320. He wanted the committee to know that he could not be here today, but that he does in fact support this bill. I also spoke with Dan Knuth, the representative of the Minnesota Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. He told me that he wanted the committee to know that his association supports this bill. Thank you.
Question. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Representative Hillstrom, I take it that Subdivision 4 of the bill is just some comfort language, but really, in the scheme of things, is somewhat meaningless.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was put in by staff, and I can't tell you why we need it or don't.
Legislature
give us.
Representative
Weaver. Sorry, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a sort of a throw out another idea that you might consider with this, and whether it's workable or not, I don't know. But, you know, the lawyers currently have CLE requirements, and a lot of the CLE is quite expensive. And it's been my observation that after a lawyer's been practicing a while, it's sometimes difficult to find continuing legal education that makes any sense in terms of education. So when we're recommending things to the Supreme Court, maybe we should recommend some kind of a circumstance where lawyers might be able to make a voluntary contribution in lieu of some of those CLE credits. So just throwing that out as an idea, and I can see Representative Coles is intrigued.
Representative Coles.
Mr. Chair, I'm incredibly intrigued. I'll be attending a CLE tomorrow afternoon because I have to report the end of or this summer, and so Representative Liebling, it's not going to value my practice as a lawyer, and I'm doing it because I got to meet a requirement. It's an interesting idea.
Okay, we will lay over House File 1542 for possible inclusion in the public safety finance omnibus bill. And the final bill today, Representative Hillstrom, House File 1578.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 1578 is actually raising the public defender copayment. And apparently, in the past, that copayment was raised. However, this legislature put into place that it couldn't be waived by the court, and it was found unconstitutional, and so it went back to the $28. And so it doesn't specify how much to raise the fee. I just wanted members to know that for every $28 we raise that copay, it raises $450,000.
Is there someone from the Public Defense Board that wants to address this?
Mr. Chair and Member Steve Holmgren again with the Chief Public Defender in the First Judicial District. Our position is we support the idea of raising the copay. As Representative Hillstrom had mentioned, our concern is only that it be waivable for people who can't afford to pay it. We do, however, represent people who we believe could afford to pay this. As most of you know, the standard for public defender eligibility is unable to afford counsel. And that means that people with some means have the ability to still get the public defender if they just don't have sufficient means to be able to afford counsel. So in the appropriate cases such as those, we believe that this would be appropriate to to raise it, provided that it does remain waivable.
Representative Orla.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with the concept. My only question, you may be able to answer, but it's probably a court question, is how is the collectability for that $28 fee right now? Are we doing well on collecting it, or is this part of those fees that we're not collecting?
Mr. Chair, Representative Olin, I can tell you in the first district where I work, it's automatically collected. I'm not sure if that's the case statewide, but I do know in the first it's just automatically assessed by court administration.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the first request is of staff is if you could get the opinion that on that case about waiving the fee, I think it would be useful for the committee to see. My question to the testifier is there any circumstance at all where the fee is not waivable, whether it's a level of crime, particular crime, or a circumstance that does not allow for the fee to be waived?
Mr. Chair, Representative, my understanding of the case was that it needed to be waivable in all circumstances because it really is an ability to pay issue. Some folks are entitled to counsel without any charge whatsoever under the Constitution just because because of that, it has to be waivable. In other words, you can't assess someone with absolutely no money a copay for counsel.
Okay. Any other questions on for Mr. Olmgren or anyone wish to address the committee on House File 1578? Seeing none, the chair will lay over House File 1578. For possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you,
Representative Hilstrom, for presenting your bill. Representative Coles, you had a comment.
Mr. Chair, maybe a question or request for staff. Ms. Pierce, I don't know if you have the information available or how difficult it would be to get, but I would be curious to know, at least regionally, if not nationally, what some of the filing fees are. And how we compare. I mean, if we're going to be seriously take a look at you know jacking up filing fees, whether it's on initial case filings or on motions or whatever the case may be, it would be useful, I think, or helpful to know what other states are doing in that regard and where we kind of. I know I saw it on the lawyer registration fee. There was some information about where we rank nationally. That would be helpful. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And members, just wanted to, we have a copy of a letter that you should have received from the Forensic Laboratory Advisory Board. I hope that you'll have a chance to review that when we go over the budget of the Department of Public Safety. This might be helpful as we look at the complement of BCA agents that we have and see that there seems to be a difference of opinion on regional labs between the department and the advisory board. So we might want to take that up, but I wanted to pass that on. There's no other business before the committee. We are adjourned.